For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we have a neat show. This is a very topic-focused show. A lot of times we'll have people that come in and kind of tell their story about how they got involved in real estate and so forth. But we have a guest on who has already been a guest in the past. So I would invite you to visit episode number 035. His name is Jeff Kissay, and he is a very accomplished real estate investor. But there is something he's going to speak about today that a lot of you may not know about, and it is something called impact investing. So before I introduce him, I'm just going to give you a little background on Jeff. And he's a full-time real estate investor, licensed general contractor, California expert in construction and alternative energy. He's licensed as a real estate agent and co-owner of the Capital 8 Group, LLC. He has sat on building committees for his community as well as on the board for the Home Builders Association. In 1995, Jeff and his wife, Sherry, relocated to Colorado, and together they built Lintal Construction Company from the ground up, a very successful general contracting business specializing in the construction of high-end custom single-family homes. They shifted from their construction business to full-time real estate investing. Some of their specialized real estate investing training includes apartment acquisition and emerging markets, private lending for commercial properties, short sale certification, special needs housing, highly effective property management, syndication, contract analysis and negotiation skills development, repositioning of apartments, and many more. Jeff and Sherry are also big believers in giving back to their community and have been involved with their local food bank, Project Angel Heart, Miracle Flights, Special Olympics, Adopt a Family, Athletes in Action, Military Veterans Outreach Associations, and many more. And for adding to that list of specializations, impact investing. Here is Jeff to tell us exactly what is impact investing.
Wow, that's a long list. Thank you very much, Bill. I really appreciate you introducing me. A lot of that is all in the past. And the future, what we're doing now is impact investing, though we didn't know we had a name to it. And when we first decided to go into a new business, Sherry and myself, Sherry worked for very big development companies on in the financial side of like Jones Lang LaSalle and Voight and a bunch of other companies that built multifamily developments, huge communities. And I was on the development side in construction. And so when we decided to do something, we wanted to make our lives impact, though we didn't use that word. We wanted all of our investments to invest with a purpose to positively impact investors, tenants, their communities, and the earth as a whole. And so we thought the best way to impact the most people we could was to create a multifamily investment company. And so we partner with investors and move forward to purchase properties built in the between the 1960s and 1985. Between 1960 and 1985, there were over 10 million units built, and they were built kind of like in a sterile stage. They were just built to house people, not create communities. They were built very energy inefficient back in that day. Nowadays, with new developments, you have to build green. You have to build LEED certification, and that's all really good. But there, in our opinion, there's a huge niche that many people that live in between 1960 and 1985. They have apartments that are just apartments and not a communities. And so we wanted to focus on bettering their lives any way we could. At the same time, on all these properties, creating a less energy footprint. And that's what impact investing is. Impact investing is impacting the tenants for a better lifestyle and impacting the environment for less energy usage, less water usage, so that it's better as a whole on the entire community.
That's so interesting. I wasn't aware of that until you mentioned that. That you know that between the 60s and 85, that was a time when you know they really didn't have the you know any kind of energy efficient type features. How do you go about finding a property in that date range? I mean, you'd have to really dig into the records, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, brokers, you know, when they give out their offering memorandums on certain properties, it's really easy to find. You can find when they're selling a property, you know, they always say, oh, a 1965 build or a 1982 build. And immediately that draws our attention to there. Off-market properties that we get, that's our first question. You know, if they say, well, it's a 2005 build. We say, well, that's really great, you know, and I'm sure somebody will want to buy that, but we're focused on our niche, and our niche is between 60 and 85. There's 10 million units out there. There's plenty of room to improve in all areas of the United States. So that's what we do. We didn't know that we were impact investors until just recently, within a year, somebody came and said, well, do you know what your business model is? And I said, yeah, I do. And they said, no, you don't. It's impact investing. Ever since then, we've been enlightened that we do impact the tenants' lives. And I will tell you, when we purchase a property, focusing on the tenants, when we first purchase the property, usually the tenants, you'll see that their eyes are looking down when they get out of the car and they walk right into their apartment, they close the door and that's it. And we want to change that. We want to make it a social environment, make it so that when they get out, they want to talk to people, greet people. And so we do that. We, on one hand, what we do is we will add amenities and we'll add color, and we can talk about that shortly. But the idea is we go in and we change out water inefficient toilets and faucets and all that. And by the way, there's a lot of cities that actually help you with this. we're doing a property right now in Dallas, and that the city of Dallas actually will rebate us back all the toilets and water saving devices and stuff like that. So they want to also help in reducing the water and energy footprint, which is really nice.
That's great. You know, what might be helpful is maybe if you could just kind of walk me through, you know, an actual purchase, you know, how you found out about this purchase, what you did, you know, physically after you purchased this property, and then what you do as a, sort of an ongoing basis. That would be helpful for, I think, for our listeners to be able to see the process and exactly what kinds of things you did to a building. You know, if you could, that'd be great. Pick an actual building that you purchased.
Okay. I'll do a recent one that we purchased one in May of this year. It's in Indianapolis. It's called Aspen Chase. I think it's 130 units. It's built in 1981 or 82, something like that. And so when we walk the property, we immediately start, before we purchase, we start seeing what we can do to add amenities to create an environment for the tenants themselves. We already know what we want to do moving forward on the energy side and the water consumption side. So immediately after the purchase of the property, what we did is we changed out a boiler within the first week. And then that housed, that was for hot water. And that reduced energy consumption dramatically, between 30% and 40%.
So tell me how you changed it. When you say, so you got rid of the boiler and you went with individual units for individual heating for each unit, or?
The units themselves are townhomes, and they had individual forced air for heat, but not for water. And so they had a central water system. And so what we did was we changed out that particular boiler, and not only did it save on energy costs for us, which, by the way, is charged back to the tenant, so they're actually saving money, but also they don't run out of hot water now, which it's funny because we got an email saying, to the person who turned on the hot water, God bless you. You know, and it's sad. It's funny, but it's also sad that somebody has to live like that. And then so we go in and for the tenants, what we decided to do on the amenity side is we decided to add a splash park right next to the pool. I mean, a splash pad right next to the swimming pool. So it brings in color. The kids love it. There is no liability there because it's not water, it's not a pool. So they get to run around and with colorful mushrooms and buckets pouring water on their head. And it doesn't cost that much, yet it creates a colorful environment in the center of the community.
Can you explain exactly what a splash pad is for those that don't know what that is?
Yeah, it's like if you go to a splash park where they have all kinds of slippery slides and stuff. But there's also a pad, and what that is you have like 10 water jets underneath this pad that shoot up at different intervals.
I got it. Okay, yeah.
And so the kids are, even though they're soaking wet, they're still deciding if, you know, if one's going to shoot up or not. And it just creates a sense of excitement. And even when it's not, and when it's down, like in wintertime in Indiana, there's no water, but there's still colorful fixtures there, whether it be a slide or a mushroom or whatever. And that's just one little thing that we like to do. The other thing, of course, is bring in playgrounds, but not just any kind of playgrounds with lots of color. Swings that have bright yellow chains and bright yellow seats and all kinds of plastic covered things that the kids love to climb on, but yet it's really colorful. And then in between those, or next to it, we'll bring it a bark park or a dog park. And like in townhomes, tenants have not only children, but they all have pets. And they like to go to a place where the kids can play, the pets can run, and then they can sit at a picnic table and barbecue if you want, because we put in barbecues and then a shaded area. And then it becomes a community. For 9 months out of the year, everybody's out there talking and conversing with each other instead of just walking down with their eyes down, going to their apartment and staying there. And it becomes a vibrant community.
Oh,
and that's just the start of it. I mean, I have a whole list of things that we do. But these costs are very minimal.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you had a little land there. Do you remember how much land?
No, but what I said there was all put in approximately like a half an acre or a quarter acre. It's in a small little area.
Okay.
So you can put a lot in a small area. And even if you can't, what we do on properties that don't have a green belt that you can do something with, we'll put in bicycle stations where instead of and storage for bicycles so that the tenants don't have to store them in their apartment and they don't have to work on their bike in their apartment. The bicycle station is where they can fix flat tires, they can pump up air, they can. We have tools there, and it's very vibrant because a lot of the millennials, a lot of the young kids, love to bicycle not only in their city but also to work sometimes. And so bike stations have been a big hit. Also, pet washing stations. You know, instead of washing,
instead of
washing your pets in the bathtub, we have a pet washing station outdoors or indoors next to, you know, depending on where the property is. But in Aspen Chase, it's indoors, and it costs virtually nothing. It costs us, I think, $350 to put this in, but you know, with all these things that I have said, there's great benefits that have come through this that we didn't intend, but it is actually happening. Like with the pet washing stations, we found out that we're no longer getting our bathtubs clogged with all kinds of hair and stuff, and our maintenance costs have gone down.
Interesting. And, wow.
Yeah, and it goes on and on. Even the with the amenities that we added, we have found out that your number one costs, which are your make-ready costs, have gone down significantly because our tenants are staying longer. They're staying a year or 2 years longer because they love the community. And then also another thing that has gone down is our marketing costs, you know, marketing for new tenants. That has gone way down because now the tenants are actually referring their friends to come there. And so they're doing a lot of the work for us just because we're focused on them. And so there's a great dual benefit with impact investing.
That's neat. Now, just to take a step back a little bit here, the bicycle stations now, is this an indoor facility that people can store their bikes? Is that how I read it right?
Both. Yes. So the bicycle station is outside because basically I wish I had pictures I could show you, but it's just an area that there's tools there, and then there's an air pump station. But for storage, it's indoors, and you can literally get a shed and store the bikes inside. But usually in an apartment place, you can always find an area that is not being used efficiently. And so we'll use that to store the bikes. And the tenants love it because it's now not being stored up on the third floor that they have to bring up and down all the time.
Oh, I love that. And the pet washing station, do you just build sort of an overhang or indoors? Is it also another room that maybe is not being used efficiently?
Yeah, usually it's next to the laundry facility because you have hot water and cold water there. And so on the opposite wall or in that same room, you can still go ahead and basically it's just a shower pan, you know, a big one, and with all kinds of soaps and handheld nozzles and areas to dry the dog. And again, it's just an amenity that's unique in itself. Just like we have what we now call trash valet. I think some people have heard of it, but and we focus on the elderly for this, or even young single ladies. The last thing that they want to do is take their trash out to the dumpster at night. And right. So we've set up 2 times a week. They put their trash bags out in front of their door at 8 a.m. My maintenance guy will go by and pick all that up and put it in the dumpster by 8:30. And they love that, because now they, again, it's just a little small service that we do to keep our tenants a little bit happier than the community up the road.
Oh, neat. These are great ideas. I want to live there. <That's>, no, it just sounds really nice. Like you definitely have put the tenants first, and that really has to have an impact.
And so I do want to mention one thing. You know, we go into a property with 3 things in mind, and one is impacting the tenant, and the other one is reducing the energy cost and the water consumption. And there's many ways to do that. And the third thing is also getting very good returns on investment with our investors. And all those three become a trifecta, because it does work. If you're focused on the tenant, all three things happen simultaneously. And the longer we do it, the more benefits we find in impact investing.
God, that's fantastic. The water consumption, you know, because I've heard a lot about different ways to do this. Is there a resource, a place that where some of our listeners that have properties can go to find out, the most water efficient water nozzles or toilets and so forth, or do you just have to do your own research on that?
Well, it's pretty simple. Basically all new codes nowadays, you have to put in the 1.6 gallon toilets. In my time period that I look for properties, they flush like 3 to 4.5 gallons depending on the toilet. So, and if you times that times how many flushes it goes. So you can just go down to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever and pick up those for like $60 or $55. And it's very inexpensive. And then depending on what city or county you're in, you could get reimbursed for that, which is really good. And also all the faucets, they all have water restrictors in them. And these days they don't. So there's tons of water that just floods out. And in apartments, tenants usually don't care if there's a leak in a faucet or a shower head. They just let it leak. They don't care. But so that's a lot of water if you don't have these water restrictors in those faucets and shower heads. All the new ones have them. So there is no choice. I mean, you can just go down there and pick whatever one that you think looks great, and they'll have that in there. So it's pretty easy. There's not a lot of research that you have to do. If you really want to restrict the water, which we do in certain areas, like whether it be like in desert areas, we have properties in Lubbock, Texas, and we were getting worried that there's going to be a water shortage. Then we go in and we research the most efficient shower head that you could purchase. So on that end, all we really did was we called the city, because they're promoting all kinds of water conservation. And they said, here's where you should go to get this. And then we did, and we purchased it. So there's many ways that you can find out which one's best for your particular property.
Now, for the city to reimburse you, do they usually have a recommended list or products that they will reimburse on?
Yeah, they do. Well, some don't. Some don't care. But like in Dallas, they do. They have a list, but they're all common. They're not like, you have to go do this. There's a big list that you could choose from. So it's And you just want to make sure that when you purchase a property and you move forward with impact investing, you contact the city and just tell them your plan, and then they'll help you if they can. A lot of cities don't. A lot of cities don't do this. They don't have, you know, the extra manpower or the capital to help you with that. And that's okay. That doesn't stop us. But at least you've checked into that to see if you can get some added benefit moving forward with your strategic plan.
Right. Oh, this is great. Great stuff. What are the things that you might add in terms of, you know, sort of improving the community, getting people not only maybe in your apartment, but, you know, those around you helping out the broader community, the neighborhood?
What happens is you don't really have to do much because the other communities, they look at and seeing what you're doing. And so what they do is they start reflecting what you do. Which is good because it's just like they want to keep up with the Joneses. And if they're seeing that our properties are at 98% or 100% occupied and they're at 88 or 90, they're saying there's something up. What are they doing? Well, what we're doing is customer service. It's just like we believe that everybody has a right to live in the best place possible. And it doesn't cost a lot to improve their lives with different amenities. What happens is the other communities start following in place with that. So actually, what we incurred in one experience was in just outside of Denver here, we had a property, we turned it all around, and the city actually started saying, hey, could you look at this property to purchase? Hey, could you look at this property to purchase?
I love it.
Well, we did too, because it meant something for us. It meant something that we were doing something right, and the city appreciated that we were improving their community as a whole too, and that really made us feel good.
Now, have you ever had a problem with these great amenities? Do you ever have problem folks coming in and, you know, using your bike station or washing their pets? You know, people from next door. I mean, has that ever been an issue?
Yeah, no. I guess it hasn't been an issue. Has it happened? Yes. But what happens is again, the tenant base, they're saying this is my community. And so they're actually watching.
They're enforcing.
That's right. And so they see somebody that doesn't belong there, they'll report it to the on-site management. And then we go ask them to leave or to lease up one of our apartments.
I love it. Wow, that's great, Jeff. A really, really incredible focus on a whole different focus on landlording, where you really are focusing on the needs, you know, defining what the needs are of your tenant base, and then trying to bring those features into your community, and in that process, allowing those that are a member of the community to interface, to enjoy, you know, outside of their actual units themselves, and coming out and being a part of the broader community. It's and in addition to that, you know, you're helping the environment, you're helping the neighborhood, ultimately impacting cities, I'm sure.
Well, thank you. And we're very excited about it. And hopefully we'd like to get more people doing this on their particular properties, too. We put in sand volleyball. I mean, that's so cheap to do, but, you know, the net is colorful. Again, we're trying to bring color in because it's emotional and it's a draw. And then what we also like to do is in the leasing office, we create areas where there's self-improvement books that young people who are working, who want to improve their lives, can just go and check out different books. And it doesn't cost anything. You know, it's what, $200 or something for a bunch of self-help books. But we try to think of any way we can to help them elevate their idea of themselves. And we also have in certain properties, not all of them yet, we just started this, but is that we would, if they're applying for a job, we'll have somebody come in for resume classes and help them with their resume. And then also what we'll do is once a month, we'll have a personal trainer come in and talk about good eating habits. And, you know, at first there was like one or two people that would show up, but the more that this happens, the more people show up. And again, that starts a conversation in the leasing office in a community, and they all like that.
Do you have like a community center or some sort of room that they can meet in for that?
Yeah. And if we don't, then it's right there in the leasing office, right there where the desks are. But, you know, it's an area where that everybody could meet. But during the summertime, we would do it out by the pool, or we would do it out by the barbecue areas or the picnic area, stuff like that. Just try to change it up a little bit. And there's nothing better than to have these little meetings, you know, in the cool breeze of the summer. And that really helps out.
How do you get the word out about these special events?
Well, nowadays, you know, I have four daughters, they're all millennials, and they really help me with the social media stuff. So, and I'm not saying I do it, but our on-site managers, they'll do social media. They'll put it on the Facebook page, or else they'll email all the tenants saying this is what's happening. And the tenants as a whole really do appreciate this. We have not yet had one complaint of us trying to make the properties a better place.
Great idea. You know, think about, you know, emailing the tenants. You could even remind them that there's going to be a trash pickup for, you know, those that subscribe to that or what have you. So that's great. Great idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
We also have dry cleaning services at certain properties. So that.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody's busy, right? Because they get up and they are hustling off at 8 a.m. and they get back and they're tired. And so we just set up, you know, with a local dry cleaning service. They'll come. We set up lockers, and then the tenants will throw their stuff in this locker, and then the dry clean people come pick it up, leave a ticket, and then they'll bring it back and set it there. It's worked out really well. It's amazing. We're trying to think outside the box.
Right.
You know, we're trying to think of what's a minimal cost, but yet can affect the tenants' lives the most. And a lot of these things have been working out really well for us.
That's neat. And when you say certain units that you do that, or certain properties, is there certain criteria that you're looking at for people for the dry cleaning?
Yeah. You know, we look for young professionals, professionals that, you know, are hustling downtown, that go to work in, you know, a corporate office or something like that. So we really get to know, before we even purchase our property, we really get to know our demographic, who the tenants are working for, and, you know, what they really need. And that's when I said, you know, like the valet trash was focused for the elderly and for the young single ladies, because we know that, you know, they don't want to hustle out there at 11 at night in where it's really dark and cold. So, you know, there's certain things that we focus on each property.
Wow, this is great. It spurs a lot of other ideas, I'm sure, for those that are listening as well. Jeff, this has been such a informative and valuable interview. Thank you so much for presenting this. And I think there's a lot of folks listening that probably want to launch their own impact investing. And how would people get a hold of you?
Yeah, and I'd be glad to send out a little PowerPoint that I have put together that kind of helps give you ideas and the water savings. But, you know, they can always just contact me at jeff@capital8group.com. And that's capital8group.com.
Great. And they would request that PowerPoint and have that sent to them.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'll send it right out.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Jeff, this has been a fantastic podcast here. I think people are going to enjoy it, and a lot of I'm hoping maybe it'll spur a lot of people around the country to and around the world. We have about 27 countries listening to us right now too, and so
that's awesome.
To be able to see this move sort of organically and start seeing more and more of that, I love it. And it's so true what you said about, you know, we just purchased a property in Indianapolis as well, and you know, we put a new sign out front with flowers around it. It was just the sign before was really sketchy, really scary, you know, plywood thing just kind of hanging there, and you know, just within a couple of months of putting that up there, all of a sudden, just two buildings down, brand new sign, flowers, you know, the same thing, and I see what you're saying, you know, how other owners will. See these things, and it really will transform a local neighborhood. That's just a great stuff.
It really does. And then what happens is your crime rate and goes way down or becomes extinct because all of us owners are upgrading that area. And you know, we've also connected with the local police department. And they have taught us about life safety issues and how to make sure that a property is as safe as possible.
Neat. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And those that want to hear Jeff's favorite books and so forth, you can go to episode 035. But we are going to let Jeff give another shot at giving us his best old hound dog howl before we close out here. Are you ready, Jeff?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Ah-woo! That's the best I got. Sorry about that.
All right. I think your first one was a little better, but that's okay.
It was. You
know? We'll enter that in our contest, you know. All right.
Bless your heart.
Thank you so much, Jeff. We really appreciate it. Great information. And I'm going to order that PowerPoint too, see what other stuff you've got up your sleeve. So thank you so much, Jeff. And for all of you old dog listeners out there, thanks for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us really means a lot to us, and we appreciate it greatly. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.